Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, happy Monday and happy Labor Day, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill. And as always, we like to start the show by thanking our sponsors, the lovely folks over at Markham Search LLC. Markham Search offers premier professional recruiting services throughout the United States and also specializes in both executive placement as well as temporary staffing. So a special thank you to our sponsors. And today we are very excited to have on the show with us Allison Garrido. If you go back to some of the original episodes that we did in 2016, Allison was often a co-host or guest hosted the show for us and is now joining us today from New Zealand. So for those of you who are not familiar with Allison, Allison Garrido is passionate about helping professionals advance their careers and find jobs that they will enjoy. As a career coach, she partners with her clients to identify their strengths and create a path toward a more fulfilling career. Allison provides support around preparing for interviews, performance reviews, and salary negotiations, ensuring that you present yourself in the best possible light for job search and career advancement. Allison, it's great to have you back. How are you?
I'm really great. Thank you for having me. Just hearing the theme song brings back nice memories.
I know.
It hasn't been that long, but it feels good to be back.
I know. I've missed having you on the show, and people always ask me who my favorite career coaches are, and your name always comes up. So I think you have so many resources. It's hard to choose a topic to do with you.
Oh, you're so kind. Thank you. Yeah, that's always the thing is time, right? You and I could talk for hours about all sorts of different things. We've just got to narrow it down a little bit.
Exactly. Well, today, let's talk a little bit about networking. I know it's a topic that comes up in all different avenues, whether you're looking to start a business, to change a job, or just maybe to expand your social circle. Tell our listeners a little bit about networking and why it might be important to their job hunt.
Absolutely. So the thing that comes up for me over and over speaking with people in job search is they'll say, you know, I've been really lucky. I've never had to conduct a job search. You know, jobs have just kind of come my way and I've had opportunities present themselves. And I always push back on that because the people who are not having to do job search because jobs are coming to them or people are reaching out, it's not luck. It's that those people have built really strong relationships and shown up in such a way that people want to hire them and people are seeking them out. So if you can really build those relationships, you'll ensure that you can advance your career in the right way and also have lots of resources whenever you need them. Networking is about far more than just looking for your next job. It's about making the right connections, sharing industry best practices, all those great things about making sure you have, you know, strong colleagues all over the world like us.
Yeah. And so tell me, I mean, people, I think, have misconceptions about what networking is and what networking isn't. Can you tell me a little bit about what could somebody use networking for aside from just job hunting?
Absolutely. So networking it gets a bad reputation because people think of selling themselves and kind of putting on a show, if you will. And I think that is absolutely the wrong way to network. Networking is absolutely about building relationships. So if you think about building relationships with people, it gets a lot easier because it doesn't feel kind of slimy and filled with finger guns. You know, you're just chatting with people who you already want to chat with. And when you think about what you'd reach out to your network for, you might reach out to your network for referrals. So if you're looking for a new job and want to be referred into a company or talk with someone in a company, you could do that. You might also be looking to hire someone new. So you could reach out to your network to talk about who's available. If there's new laws maybe coming into place with your industry, if you're looking at best practices, maybe it's even you want to adopt a new system. You can reach out to your colleagues at other companies to say, what's your experience been like with this system, this company, this person, and make sure that you're stronger in your role as a result of your network.
And how does one find networking events? I mean, how, where do you even begin to go, oh, okay, is going to the gym, is that networking? Or do you always have to go to networking specific events?
Well, I think that's really the beauty of networking, is if you're doing it and feeling inauthentic or not feeling good about the kinds of events you're going to, which is what I hear is networking events aren't fun. And usually what people are saying is they don't enjoy a cocktail hour networking. And that is 100% fine. You can find your networks anywhere. So it's really about figuring out what kind of event suits you best. So for example, some people do feel really comfortable at a cocktail hour and they're ready to walk up to a group of strangers and say hello and network in that way. And that's wonderful. You might want a little more structure. So if you want more structure, there's a couple options that are good. Some places do what they call speed networking. So that's a place where you show up and it's like speed dating. One side of the table stays seated, the other side of the table rotates, and you get to just meet a lot of people really, really quickly. Another great structured networking is there's an organization, and more of these are popping up, called Six Degrees Society. What Six Degrees Society does is they end up actually curating a networking experience. So all of the people that show up to an event, before they show up, they've sent a bio. So the organizers of the event actually match you based on your bio with somebody with whom you share interests. You could also think about industry events. Yeah, it's really neat and it kind of takes the guesswork out. Also industry events. So if you want to, that's my favorite. My favorites are industry events and informational interviews. So industry events are where you go to an event for your industry, for any kind of topic that's of interest to you. And there will usually be a speaker or professional development opportunity. So there'll be a wee bit of chatting before and networking, then there'll be the main topic, and then a little bit of networking after. I like that because if I'm interested in the topic being discussed, then that's a springboard for conversation. So it takes a little bit of the pressure off of just coming up with a topic out of nowhere. And it's also the case that if I'm interested in this topic, probably the other people at the event will be people that I have something in common with. So that can be really good. And then finally,
Oh, you go right ahead.
Okay. So informational interviews, what that is that's when you're just one-to-one talking with someone who either has a job that you're interested in or works at a company that you're interested in. So it might be for job search or it might be just to learn more. But informational interviews take the pressure off because you're able to just ask questions and learn from someone else. And just by being curious, asking questions, showing up and being, you know, on time, professional, lovely, curious, you get to network and present yourself in a way that's not, you know, a formal interview or it's not about you. So you get to really show yourself through your curiosity and how you want to interact with others. So networking is not just a cocktail hour, I think is the short answer to your question. It's really about what do you already enjoy doing and making sure that you're using that professionally as well as personally.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. And I'll throw out just a couple of names of networking groups that I'm familiar with. You know, Meetup, right. I think, is still a popular way that people can find common interests. And even though, you know, it's funny because sometimes when somebody's job hunting, they say, well, Jen, why would I go to a non-job hunting related networking event? The reason for that would be you might go to this event and 80% of jobs are found through word of mouth, through casual acquaintances. So you might meet somebody at a sewing group or a swimming meet or somebody else who has a similar interest. And when you bond with people over a similar interest, automatically you have that sense of camaraderie and rapport that is like instantaneous, just add whatever the common denominator is. So I know Meetup is a great one. I'm a fan of a group called A Small World that's for people who like to travel around the world or if you're often doing business in other areas, especially if, say, you're looking to change jobs, say, from LA to New York. A Small World might be a really great resource for you because it kind of joins people from all different countries around the world. You know, if you're in the more entrepreneurial, running your own business, there are a lot of groups out there like BNI or Provisors that give you opportunities to kind of connect with like-minded people and see how you might be able to refer things back and forth.
Absolutely. There's no shortage of events. The thing is, too, you could join a hiking group on Meetup. And if you are looking though to network, what's important is you don't forget to talk about yourself professionally. It's so easy to not talk about work. But the way I think about those kinds of interactions is I have this thing that might be helpful to someone else. And it's not nice if I don't share that I have this thing. Like, they don't need to use it. I'm never selling or pushing myself or my work on people. But I had a really impactful experience where I was emailing with someone for personal reasons. It was actually for a wine club that I'm a member of. I was organizing my my shipment of wine and picking my bottles. And I had just recently put my website at the bottom of my email signature. And the person who I'd known already, but she didn't know what I did, checked out my website. And she said, "Oh my gosh, Allison, I just gave my notice at the winery. I'd love to talk with you about career coaching and what my next move would be." So I had spent all this time interacting with this person that needed this thing for me. And I didn't tell her that it was around. So I think that's what's really important, is not to say, you know, hire me, hire me, hire me, but this is what I do. That's it.
Yeah, I think that's such a good point, because it's striking that fine line between being interested and engaged in what other people are up to, no matter what the networking situation is, and talking about yourself, but not to the point where you're making it all about you. I don't remember if I ever told you the story. It was mortifying in retrospect. But right when I first opened my company, the original one, J. Hill's Career Consulting Services, I arrived at a Waukano networking event with 200 people. And I had, I kid you not, Allison, probably 1,000 business cards on me. And I was hell-bent on handing every one of those out. And as I was walking into the event, you could almost see like Moses parting the Red Sea. I would just walk up to strangers and be like, "Hey, I'm Jennifer Hill. You want to do business with me? Hi, I'm Jennifer Hill. Here's my card." And people started ducking under tables and trying to avoid me. And I was so proud of myself at the end of that event, because I thought I did what I went there to do, which was to hand out my business cards. And I didn't realize the cost and impact of what it's like to be at a networking event where somebody who is just completely focused on themselves and not on others. Now, 10 years later, thank God, I don't do that anymore. But I just didn't know how to network.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know you've heard this term before, but you know, networking is farming, not hunting.
I haven't heard that. That's great.
So that's a popular one that I've heard when I visited BNI groups. So what that means is networking is not one and done. And we all kind of wish it was one and done. So as soon as you can get that idea out of your head that, you know, business is done with business cards, right? So that meeting, you are kind of thinking, okay, if I get my business cards in people's hands, that's enough. And as you know now, it's just not. So farming is different, where farming, it's long-term, right? It's a long game. You don't get to plant a seed and it blossoms, right? You have to plant the seed in the right place, give it the water, then there's sunlight, which you have no control over. You know, so there is a lot of luck that goes into it. But it's really, really rare that someone will, you know, present an offer to you or make a referral the first time they meet you. Because if they do that, their reputation's on the line. I have a good friend who says, before I can refer somebody, I need to make sure that they show up on time and make eye contact. Mm. You know, and that seems simple, but yeah, I'm sure that she's learned like I have. You know, if you refer somebody very early and they don't work out, or they're not the person that you'd hope that they'd be, you really back up from referring people quickly, and you know, are really considerate of how you use your capital in that way, because it is your reputation whenever you refer someone.
Yeah, and you have to be equally as careful, to your point, on LinkedIn. I know I made that mistake very early on in my career when LinkedIn first started in the, you know, late 2008 or so. And I'll never forget, I recommended somebody, you know, you meet somebody and you think, oh, I like this person. Mm-hmm. And they ask you to write a recommendation. And I hadn't personally worked with that person in any capacity as far as coworkers, client, et cetera. And I made the mistake of recommending them. And I actually wound up having to have it removed later, because the person's reputation wound up being less than pristine. And you don't want to, inadvertently wind up affiliating yourself with somebody whose reputation might not be good, let alone be the person who recommended them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's so true. And it's hard because especially for people like us who might be a little more trusting, and you have to learn those lessons. And we've learned those lessons, but a lot of people don't start out as trusting as we are. They say, no, I'm not making a recommendation until I've known you and can speak to your work really well. I had that where I recommended somebody to a company after a first meeting, and the next meeting she didn't show up. Mm. And I went, oh my gosh, I didn't think, you know, that somebody wouldn't be the person that they portrayed themselves to be. But, you know, you live and learn. But it's remembering that, like, it's not one and done. It's not, you know, like you said, why would I go to an event that's not a job searching event? It's kind of like, because you have to go to more than one event. You have to think of it as the long game. And just because you don't get a referral from an event or an opportunity absolutely does not mean that it wasn't worth your time. You never know.
Yeah. And so let's talk a little bit about in-person networking. What are some do's and don'ts? Well, aside from my horrible faux pas of handing out 200 business cards to people who are unwilling recipients, are there any other do's or don'ts that you would recommend when it comes to networking?
Absolutely. I would say do have a pitch prepared. And so you know how you're going to talk about yourself. Take some time and really think about what you want to say and the message that you want to deliver. But don't worry about memorizing it. So the term elevator pitch comes from the idea that you get in an elevator with the CEO of a company you want to work for, and you have to give your pitch before her floor comes and she gets off the elevator. But that's not real life. Nobody drops their networking pitch and then runs away. So really think of it as a conversation and make sure that you're sharing a little bit. I also have on one of our podcasts, actually, that I hosted for Get Yourself the Job with Tom Henschel. He talks about your pitch and talking about yourself as skiing down a mountain. So you always start from the top and end up at the bottom, but you go a different way every time. And that's okay. So if you try to memorize or really worry about getting every word right, there's two things that might happen. One is if you forget the third word that you've memorized, uh-oh, right? You have to start over and you're in panic mode, or you sound like a robot. So just really think of networking as having a conversation. And I might just start with, I'm a career coach. And Jennifer, you would take that in a completely different direction than somebody who says, is that like a life coach? You know, So there will be varying levels of, or is that like a recruiter? A lot of people say to me. So those are people that I'll talk with about my work in a lot different way than somebody like you who knows me well, who's, you know, done some coaching, knows career coaching, and we could take the conversation in a different place. So really thinking of it as a conversation. And also when you're walking in, have an intention. Know what you'd like to leave with. And it might be leaving having had some interesting conversations, leaving having talked with people or pushed yourself out of your comfort zone. There's no hard and fast rules. But go in ready and excited to network and show yourself. And then another huge do, and I just put a post up on this on LinkedIn this morning, is please follow up with a thank you note if you meet somebody. Gosh, it matters. It really, really matters. And if you want to keep in touch with someone, just pop over that quick. It was nice to meet you. Now you're connected and you can see where you go from there. But taking the time after, if you have somebody's business card that you want to keep in touch with, it really matters to take the time that next morning or that evening and reaching out and saying hi. People don't do it. And I guess it's fine that people don't do it, but wow, will you stand out if you do?
Yeah. And on that note, I will say, even going a step further, what I do is I personally don't hand out business cards. I collect them. So that way I know, like, if I've taken the time to ask you for your business card, it means that I actually care. And if somebody wants my information, I just add them right then on the spot on LinkedIn or one of my other social networks. But what I do above and beyond that is I reference a point in the conversation. So, you know, it's one thing to send a quick little, hey, nice to meet you. And it's another thing to say, oh my gosh, Bob, I remember that you said you have a child who's starting kindergarten in Santa Monica and you wanted teacher recommendations. Let me see if I can connect you with one of my friends who is a teacher in that district for several years. And that way I can make sure that your child gets the best education or whatever it is and see how you can provide a resource.
Yep, exactly. Those simple things. And that's a huge one, especially following up after a job interview, you know, being able to recall something about the conversation makes a huge difference. And, you know, it's a couple lines. It's not a huge time commitment, but that time commitment and showing that you care and that you're listening and that you're following up really matters. Another, if we want to talk about the, you know, the email equivalent of handing out business cards like you did is, you know, people who will quickly add you to their newsletter. That's not okay. You know, suddenly you're getting spam from this person and they didn't send the initial, hi, how are you? So the personalization matters a lot too, because even if you're not sending something that is being sent to 15 different people, if you're sending something quite generic, people might think that it's an email that you're sending to everyone, and that might prompt them to not respond. So oftentimes I'll get emails from people and I'm looking for, is this a hello friend, you know, versus hello Allison, or, you know, are they really taking the time to email me, or is this something that's been sent kind of really wide? Because if it's something that's been sent really wide, I'm assuming that they don't really know that they reached out to me. So I probably don't need to respond.
Yeah, exactly. Is that you just need to see, was there that personal touch? And some people, this is very rare, but I do come across it every now and again. The art of the handwritten thank you note after an interview or after, I had a friend of mine who had his own stationery and I had him over for a dinner party. And I'll never forget receiving on his stationery, thank you, my dear. It was lovely to see you. It was such a delight. I really enjoyed the ragu. And, you know, I still will always remember that thank you note, whether, and that was just a dinner party and it wasn't even an interview, but it can be the deciding factor in whether or not you get the job or somebody wants to follow up with you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All of these things are about staying top of mind, right? So you've created this initial connection, and then it's how do you stay in touch with people in ways that are impactful but don't kind of create a lot of work for people, right? So he didn't you know, send you an email later and say, it was great to meet you, and you're a recruiter, can you please review my resume, right? Like, that's a huge ask, and I think a lot of people don't take the time to realize, you know, when they're reaching out to people, how to make it easy and what's appropriate. So, you know, something like a handwritten note, or if you see an article that you think someone would appreciate, and flicking it over. I mean, I go by, if I'm thinking nice thoughts about you, or I'm thinking about you, I'm going to tell you. And that's how I keep in touch with people. So if I run into someone that you and I have in common, I'm probably going to reach out to you after and say, hey, Jen, I ran into Joe. We were talking about how lovely you are. Hope you're having a good day, Allison. You know, just those little things that it matters to me. I am thinking about you. I might as well share it with you. And that doesn't create any extra work. It's just a way for me to keep in touch and keep our relationship going, even right through all these miles. We haven't set eyes on each other in over a year. And now we're living so far away, but we're regularly in touch in easy ways. Like, you'll say, hey, do you have somebody who can do this show? And I'm so grateful that we have that relationship, that you know that you can rely on me for things like that, and vice versa. It's the relationship.
I think the great thing that you just highlighted, Allison, that's so important, is the symbiosis. Because if you wind up in any sort of relationship, business, networking, personal, where there's not an equal balance, like, for example, if I'm always emailing you, hey, Allison, thinking of you, hey, Allison, thinking of you, but I don't get a response, which that would never happen with you. But if it did, then it might cause me to go, huh, is this a relationship worth developing? You know, I get it in the job hunting sense. Sometimes you do have to be persistent. persistent, but then it kind of crosses a line sometimes where people are either too persistent or not persistent enough. Sometimes it's a job seeker who follows up with me 6 months later and they've fallen off the radar. And then that person says, oh, I'm looking for a job now. And then in that moment, timing is everything. And I'm like, oh, this is perfect. But then you have people who follow up too much and demand too much of a relationship. So you really have to strike that healthy balance, no matter what sort of networking relationship it might be.
Right. And backing up and thinking, okay, what am I asking and what will the impact of this ask be? Right. So if you're asking for an informational interview, you might say, I mean, people do this all the time in LA and get fabulous results, is they say, would you have time to chat with me during your commute? I'll tell you, that is like the money ask in LA, as opposed to, can we get coffee? Right. Which now here in Wellington, New Zealand, everyone, like, coffee is the thing. I've been on all sorts of meetings, and my meetings have snowballed from there, just from being at a coffee shop and running into people at the coffee shop. But it's a really small town where everyone can walk to their local coffee shop. You know, so what is the ask and what's appropriate? And in here in New Zealand, if I said, let's have a 15-minute phone call, that would raise red flags of like, why doesn't she want to take the time to meet me in person? Whereas in LA, it's a different beast, right? It's a long commute. It's a huge time commitment to actually go meet somebody. But if I could lend you a hand during my commute by chatting with you about my work, absolutely. So think about what you're asking. I had somebody recently reach out to me on LinkedIn and said, I'm looking for a new opportunity. Can you please let me know if anything comes up? Like, I don't know that person. So now they're asking me to look at their LinkedIn and make a guess at what they are looking for, as opposed to if they had said, hey, Allison, I see you used to be in LA. I'm actually looking at opportunities in the entertainment industry. I have this experience. If you see anything or know somebody I should talk with, I'd really appreciate it. You know, so I'm never going to hire someone. Like, I'm super, super happy being Allison Garrido, career coach, right? I don't have another name. I'm not expanding my team. I get support every once in a while, but I'm almost never going to be the person that gets someone the job, but I always have an introduction. So that's another really easy ask, is if you know somebody I should talk with or see an opportunity, I'd really appreciate it. Because most of the time people can think of another person that would be of benefit if you help them help you. Right. It's not the I'm looking for anything, because that's never true. A lot of people say that, oh, I'll take just anything, but that's never actually the case. It's not anything. And also, if you say anything, I don't really know what that means.
Yeah, because then it's tough. If you ask somebody for a carte blanche, give me a recommendation, I'm not going to be able to help guide you. But if you know what you want and you're clear in what you want and you ask for it in a non-demanding sort of way of, hey, it would be great, could you help? Is this something you might know people for? And again, it's all about the tone. If you sound like you might be somebody who's grateful and appreciative and just needs an introduction here or there, happy to do it. But I'm like you. I get emails every single day on LinkedIn. I think I have 10,000 and connections, and typically 10 emails a day are people just asking for things that I've never spoken with. But, you know, one out of every 10 or 11 is somebody who asks in a way that is receptive, and I say, okay, I'd love to consider that and see what I can do to help.
What are some of the things that people say that get your attention in a way that you do respond?
You know, it's I'm laughing because it's terrible to say this, but if somebody shows that they have done due diligence, like, wow, I noticed you built a school in Nepal. Wow, I did research. I had a young recruiter who wanted to get into recruiting. She was a recent grad and she had done due diligence. And she said, Jennifer, wow, I did some research and I was so impressed that you built your company and you were working towards building schools. If you have any time, I'm looking for somebody to mentor me and to help. And so if somebody shows that they know what's important to me, like building schools or something that I'm up to, and that they've done their due diligence and they're not just sending a blanket cast all email to everybody, then it shows me that, okay, maybe this person, you know, does deserve a little bit of time and attention to be reciprocated.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it shows that you know, you're busy, right? Like, for you to put the time into responding to that email and being a mentor right at the outset, that person has showed that they're already investing time in you. So doesn't that really kind of shift the dynamic of, yeah, so we're already we're already kind of down that path of committing to one another.
Exactly. Well, let's talk a little bit about a fun thing for a minute here. What do's and don'ts as far as what to wear to a networking event? Any thoughts on that?
Oh my gosh, that's a good one. So I always think about this with what you should know the audience to the best of your ability. Mm-hmm. Because I always think about, when I think about what to wear to an interview or to an event, a story always comes to mind, which is I worked at a fashion school for a little while. And when I was going for the job, I spoke with a former student at the school, and she said, don't wear a suit to the interview, wear like black pants and a cool top. So you fit in at the fashion school. And so I took that advice to heart, but I also thought to myself, I don't know if I have a top cool enough to go to a fashion school. And what if I wear my one cool top or go out and buy a top and now I don't have any more? What if I get the job? I was like, you know, Allison, you interview in a suit and that's how you're comfortable and that's how you're the best version of you. And if you're not going to get the job because you wore a suit instead of a black pants and a cool top, then that's not the right place for you. Yeah. And so, I mean, that's really the thing is, of course, be professional, but be comfortable in your own skin. Don't dress up like somebody that you're not. My husband's in the film industry and he goes to job interviews and work and has meetings with important people and he's wearing a t-shirt and I could just die. But if he went in with a suit, he would be let stick out like a sore thumb, you know? So it's really about making sure that you're feeling professional and that you are portraying the person that you are and the person that you want to portray. I go as you heard from that story, I'm geared towards formal and that's where I'm comfortable. I'm comfortable in heels and a dress. And that's okay. And that's where I can be me. And some people would say, oh my gosh, I would never. And that's okay because you have to be you. And I think the worst thing that you can do in networking, in interviews, whatever it is show up and try to behave like someone that you're not. If you're stretching yourself, that's different. If you're getting beyond your comfort zone, that's different. But to go somewhere and really perform, it's like me in that interview. If you start the relationship performing, now you have to keep performing. And if you try to start a relationship performing and it doesn't work out, you're going to say, I wonder if that would have worked out if I'd just shown up.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, something fun that I always suggest to people to try on is if you're going into an interview, you know, it can be helpful to dress a little bit more conservatively, both color-wise, grays, blacks, navies. But when you're going to a networking event, I think that there's so much more that you can play with. Whether you're a t-shirt and jeans kind of guy or gal, or you're a suit person, you know, adding that pop of color that's going to have you stand out in a crowd of black and gray, and or wearing something interesting as an accessory. You know, there's a guy in my office and it cracks me up. Every conference we go to, he wears a funny tie. And so people always comment on his tie. Or there was another gentleman I knew who wore a bow tie, or another friend of mine who wears a three-piece outfit, whether it's like a vest and a suit jacket with jeans. But there's certain things that you can use to kind of have yourself stand out. And for me, I have a pair of blue suede shoes I like to wear when I network. And I have men and women alike who come up and compliment me. And the nice thing about that is you don't have to be the one going out there and engaging others, they get to come to you. So it kind of creates a little bit easier of an opening for people to talk to you.
That's a fantastic idea. Absolutely. And it's about like, what is the thing that you want to get people to notice?
Yeah.
Right. So, and the three-piece suit works for that person and the blue shoes work for you. And the other person wears a funny tie. Those are all notable things, but also super personalized. Right? The three-piece suit gentleman is probably not going to wear a silly tie, right?
Yeah.
He's not a silly tie kind of guy.
Exactly. So true.
So it's that person showing a little bit of their personality, which is really what this is about. It's making sure that you're attracting people and you're attracted to people because of you, because of them, not because you're trying to be something that you're not.
Exactly. Well, Allison, you and I could talk for hours. It is Labor Day, though, and I know people probably have barbecues to get to. So are there any other tips or tricks or things that we didn't cover that you'd love our listeners to walk away from today's interview on networking about?
No, I think the biggest thing is finding what feels right to you. You know, making sure that you're able to be yourself and that you're leaving whatever events you go to or whatever networking you do, that you're leaving feeling good. It's paying attention to if you're going to the same events over and over and feeling really drained or like you're not meeting the people that you want to meet, change it up. There are no rules. It's about building relationships, and you can build relationships in a multitude of different ways. It doesn't have to be what people think of as traditional networking. Find what works for you and allows you to be you.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. And if any of our listeners out there want to work with you, for the record, I know you live in New Zealand, but I think you do coaching for people around the world, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And funny enough, I'm reporting from the future. So although it's Labor Day weekend in the States, it's Tuesday morning for me. That's actually been awesome for my LA clients, because it means I work a little bit on the weekends and a little bit later at night. But yeah, working with people globally. And I have a little link on my website that if people want to chat, they're welcome to get right on my calendar, and we can see if we'd be the right fit to work together. And if not, I'll always make recommendations of other awesome professionals to help. And I'm sure my website will be in the show notes, but it's just my name, AllisonGarrido.com.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Allison, and wishing everybody a wonderful rest of your week. And don't forget, tune in next week, every Monday at 4 p.m. Next week, we're going to be talking about circumventing the old school 9-to-5 sort of. Actually, I take that back. That show will be on September 17th. But we invite you to tune in every week at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And if you miss any portion of the show, you can always go to the latalkradio.com website under the Get Yourself the Job page and find the archives of the show immediately available after the show or on iTunes at Get Yourself the Job. So thank you again for joining us, Allison, and a very happy Labor Day to everyone.
Thanks, Jen.
Take care.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.